What I want to talk about, and I will go through this quick, and as quick as possible. But I also want us to hear something that I feel like the Lord wants us to hear. This message today will be a message that's, and it's really directed at for us. You hear this is for us, the core fellowship group. I call us as the core group of the Salt Mine Church right here in this room. It's a message, I believe, of affirmation of your salvation. This isn't a message to necessarily, in fact, I really want you to really hear this and understand it. I don't want this to be a message that causes anxiety, fear, and question and doubt. I want it to be something that actually affirms your position and your place in the kingdom of heaven. You guys with me? And I want you to know that, because as get into this, so you're gonna, because there's a lot happening in our world right now that's obvious. Like we're not under a rock. We know that there's a lot coming about. In fact, we are going to participate in what is called this 10 days of prayer that are from September 18th to September 28th, which is going to be, if you haven't looked up or seen the video or seen what Jonathan Kahn is doing, called The Return. And it's really an emphasis that all it is, it's an emphasis on God's people. And it's on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. So this is a call for my people, God's people, who are called by his name, to return to God completely, wholeheartedly, with everything in us, for the salvation of our nation, for the restoration of our nation, for the call of God's people, for revival to actually start to roll into our, not only our country, but the world. And we believe that that's actually, this is a time for that to take place. So as we even, like next week, I want to really share about this, because it's going to be on the kickoff, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the 18th, and then which is going to end with the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which is the 28th. So all this is, I want to talk about those two the next couple weeks. So Stephen, I think I'm going to steal your last week, but you can have the week after, okay? We already got that. Now, yeah, I just asked and told what's happening. So that's okay. So the next couple weeks, this is what we're going to be dealing with. But I wanted to get something down first. I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted this to happen. And it kind of started with a simple question that when Robin and I were driving back from L.A. this week, maybe we were driving down. I don't know. We were driving one way or the other. We were talking, and a question that she asked, and I, you know, we were just talking about it. It's like, how do we know that we're ready for Jesus to come back? How do I know that I'm prepared for the Lord's return? How do I know? How do I know that I'm ready for the return of Jesus? And as we talked about it, we started like, well, because there's all this stuff, like, man, do I got to do this? Do I got to have a supply, you know, a year's supply of water and food and guns and ammo and all this stuff? Will that make me ready for his return? I mean, you start thinking about all this stuff that I got to do. I got to get ready. I got to make sure I have a plan of escape or a plan of attack or whatever. I don't know. Do we escape? Do we attack? What do we do? How do we get ready? Are we prepared for the return of Jesus? Hello? Now I'm hoping I took you there with me, because I want you to go there in your mind and in your heart. Like, how do I know? And so when I'm asking this question and I'm talking about this, I think it comes down to, and I, you know, as we talked about it some more, I just simply said, man, we just got to know Jesus. And we got to have that relationship with Jesus. And then I, lo and behold, I made a stop, and I started going through it. It's like, I want to listen to some podcasts, and I popped up Gateway, which is one of the podcasts I listen to, which is and Jimmy Evans spoke a message on how do I know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, so this is a message. How many of you heard it? All right, good. You're going to hear it again. Because he broke it down so simply, and I felt like I need to share this same, a lot of the same stuff that he was sharing. And I'm going to have some different verses and passages of Scripture that I feel like the Lord gave me for this. But it came down to really three simple questions. Three simple questions to ask yourself, and I believe it's to ask yourself and to ask others. I don't think I know that it's to ask yourself first, but then so have these questions to be in your mindset. How many of you have noticed? How many of you noticed the ease that we are in to just talk about eternity? Talk about what really matters. Talk about salvation. Talk about Jesus. I have discovered, it's really awesome. And you know, you may say, well, that's because you're a pastor and everybody talks. No, but there's this awesome ease that where people are mindful of eternity now more, as much as ever. It's like really amazing. I see it, you know, maybe not quite as intense as 9/11 and right after 9/11, but it's really close. I mean, shame on me, but I discovered that my next door grumpy neighbor that nobody in the neighborhood likes except me and him, we get along, we started talking about Jesus for the first time. And it was really good. And he talked about going to heaven and being with Jesus, and we talked about going there together, and he and his wife, and we're like, yeah, this is like, what took me so long? I mean, he lives literally, I can toss little stones at his window when he's snoring, and I can hear him snoring right next to me when I'm sitting out on my patio. And I'm thinking, this is where we're at. So these are questions, and these are simple questions. Ask yourself, ask others. And it's the first one is really simple. It's right off the bat. Just very right to the point. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Hello? Anybody? Okay. Make sure you're still with me. Do you know Jesus? I want to take this as a positive spin. You're going to be like, how are you reading this, Eric, as a positive spin on knowing Jesus? Listen, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23 in the ESV says this. This is Jesus near the end of his Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking these and listen to this, I know you want to read that, but don't read that just yet. You can keep it up there, Mike, but there's something that I feel like, was that you, Mike, or? Oh, okay. And I want this to spread. I hope this is contagious. And you may say, well, yeah, duh, Eric, it's, yeah, we're like that, but to really have this it's a faith that is instilled by the Holy Spirit inside of you and inside of me that every word that Jesus spoke is true. There's no question about it. There's nothing false about it. There's no doubt about it that every word that Jesus spoke is true. Now I've always believed that ever since I've met Jesus, that it's true. But, like, I'm hearing some of these words that Jesus uses, and I'm like, oh my gosh, did you hear what Jesus just said? That kind of stuff is happening to me all the time now. Some of it's like, whoo, exciting. Some of it's like, oh, crap. Did you hear what Jesus just said? I say that when I'm talking to Jesus. I hope you guys get real with Jesus too. You will if you know him. But here's something. He says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's intense. Did you hear what Jesus just said? Workers of lawlessness, he refers to them as doing miracles, casting out demons, prophesying and he calls them workers of lawlessness? Why does he just say that like that? I'll tell you why. And listen to this, and here's the positive spin on it. And I want you to hear this loud and clear. It is more important, it takes the highest precedence in God's economy, in God's mind, in God's heart, and how God thinks of you, of him knowing you, you knowing him more than you doing anything for him. Did you hear that? What matters most is, do you know him? I don't care what you do for me, God's saying. What matters is, do you know me? Do you know me? That's all that matters. Do you know me? How do we know that we know Jesus? Quick question. Let's just run through it real fast. How do you know Jesus? Somebody give me some help. I took no notes on this. This is just like I'm saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, how do we know that we know Jesus? Nobody? Oh, come on, somebody. Okay, you sense his presence in your very soul. How about that? Let's go with that. You sense him in you. You know that he's there. How about this? Okay, I'm just going to start throwing them out there, okay? His word is in you. Did you hear that? His word is in you. You hear his voice. His word is in you. Remember, Jesus had some conversations with some of the Pharisees, and he said, You cannot know God the Father because my word is not in you. You're telling me that God is, God can raise up descendants from this rock. And you're saying, well, we're descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He says, that's hogwash. My word is not in you and it doesn't matter. So what matters, so when you know Jesus, his word is in you. His voice is speaking to you. His word is there. His word takes precedence over your life decisions. His word, yes, the word of God, is precious to you. It's meaningful. It's truth. It is the way, the truth, and the life. The source of all that's true and right comes from his word. That's one indicator that you know Jesus, right? Hello? What's some other ones? Okay, that's key. Because that's in his word. He says who he says he is Christ and Lord, the Messiah, the King, the propitiation for my sins, your sins. In other words, he's the one that took the place on the cross and paid for my sins. That's who he is. Yes, we believe that Jesus is Lord. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus is God's Son, and that when he died on the cross for my sins, he was raised again to give us life. Yes, that's knowing Jesus. Knowing the truth of who he says he is. Any others? Any other indicators? Anything that you could think of that you would say, how do I know Jesus? His word is true? Yep, the Holy Spirit is alive inside of you. Diane, what were you going to share? Guys. Amen. Amen. That's a good one. That's absolutely 100% true. When you love one another, when you just know it. You guys, it's been written right there all along. Pull it back up, Michael. The one who does the will of my Father. Right there. When you know Jesus, your life is revolved around Jesus. Amen? When you know Jesus, you love Jesus. You love others. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is alive. You sense him. You feel him. You hear him. Worship is a natural thing. Worshiping Jesus is natural. It's the right thing. So knowing Jesus is key. Knowing Jesus is the most important thing. If anything, it's what matters most. I think I spoke at a funeral, and I'm using that word intentionally. What matters? Because I think that word is now being flooded into our society in a way that it's losing a lot of its traction. Because what really matters is knowing Jesus. What really matters is knowing Him. Not even what we do with Him or for Him. It's knowing Him. And in knowing Him, all the other stuff comes into play. I believe that you can prophesy, cast out demons, and work miracles knowing Him. But if you do those things without knowing Him, what are you doing? Making a name for yourself. And Jesus calls that a worker of lawlessness. Amen? Okay, you guys with me? Yeah, go ahead. Let's Amen. Amen. Knowing Jesus is about the Father's business. Remember that? I love that phrase that Jesus used when his parents were looking for him, like when he was 12 years old. He said, "Why did you do this? Why are you here? Why did you not come back with us?" He said, "Well, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? This is what it's about." It's pretty cool. And it's really that age of, that 12 years old is that age of accountability where that person starts making decisions for themselves. And that's where Jesus started making a decision for himself. And he chose to do the will of his Father. Do you know Jesus? First question. Second question, just simple. Do you serve the Lord? Do you serve the Lord? This again, these are questions to say, how do I know I'm ready? This is about affirming the fact that you are ready. You guys with me? So let's dig into this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Just one verse. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for you either hate the one and love the other, or you'd be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You see, for us to know that we are ready, that we are prepared for Jesus' return, we really are about God's business. We're about serving God. Now, what is this serving God and serving money? What does that look like? There's two distinctions of who you're going to serve. Who are you serving most, or who are you serving? Because it says you'll serve one and hate the other, and you'll despise the one and love the other. Amen. The one you love will control you. But why does he just say money there? Most of us know this in doing the word study in what that word is mammon. And what is mammon? It's possessions, it's things, it's stuff of this world. So, oh, you did?
Yeah.
Awesome. Amen. Yeah, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And that's awesome, because what I think it comes down to, and it just really takes this kind of this self-reflection, this being honest about yourself. Like, who are you out for? What are you out there doing all of this for? What is it all about? Is it just to gain and accumulate possessions for yourself? Is it just to have stuff so that you can be comfortable, so that you can live well, so that you can be happy? Is it all about the stuff you can gain? It's like if you're doing life just so that you can get stuff. And you may say, "Well, I'm not materialistic. And, you know, you see the car I drive, or you see this." Like, don't measure your materialism by what you actually have. Do you hear me? No, listen close. Don't measure the materialistic spirit that can easily penetrate you by what you have or don't have, because it's about your heart. It's about the heart. You may say, "Well, I don't have anything. I'm not materialistic." It's like, well, but you're wanting a whole lot. And if your drive is to get more and more and more, and all I do is want, and I'm never content with what I actually have, you're way more materialistic than the person that has plenty and still can give a ton because they have a ton, because their heart is right in the plenty that God gives them, because the plenty that God gives them, God is blessing them with that plenty because of the right heart and the right spirit about them. Because they're not doing it just to get stuff, they're doing it to bless. And many of you in this room are just like that. Wow, that was really preachy. I need to take a breath. You guys, did we hear what that? Please, because I've heard it way too many times, even from our own folks. It's like, I don't care what I have or don't have. It's like, well, you better really be careful about what you're saying there, because your heart may reveal something different, because it's who you serve. And it comes down to this, and this statement that I Jimmy Evans said it kind of sort of like this. I took it and tweaked it just a smidge. But as a Christian, and if you know Jesus, guess what? You're a Christian. You are a follower of Jesus if you know Jesus. So as a Christian, you represent Jesus first. You represent Jesus first in your life. You represent Jesus first above being an American. Does that offend you? Good, I hope it does. Because you need to understand this. Being a Christian is representing Jesus first. So this is what we need to make this declaration. And this is, I think, what Jimmy Evans was saying. He's like, make this declaration, make it a prayer, make it a something that you get up every day and you make this statement. If you got to just simply say these words, write them down to where you bump your head on them every morning when you get up. It says, I serve His kingdom by His power for His glory. I serve His kingdom by His power for His glory. All of this is for His glory. Hello? I serve His kingdom by His power for His glory. That's awesome. That gets me out of the picture totally, like as far as like me just being available, like, God, use me to serve in Your kingdom. Oh, guess what? God, as I submit myself and say, and I declare, God, I want You to use me for Your kingdom. Hey, God, I need Your power to do it. Right? God, I need Your grace to do this. Your grace is enough. But I need it every day to do it. And God, it's about You. I don't do it so that I can gain a name. I do it to represent Your name first. I represent Your name first. Amen? So it comes down to that. Just do you serve the Lord? Do you know Jesus? Do you serve the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen? Any other thoughts on that question? Simple question, right? Okay. And here's the probably the... It gets a little deeper. And Diane alluded to it. Do you love others? This is where a lot of what Jesus talks about is you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them what comes out of the mouth. Out of the overflow of the mouth, or out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Do you love others? Now here's, I just really ask, I'm asking us to be, and yes, I know that I said this is about affirming your salvation, but I am going to put this out there. If you hate people, if you're the grumpiest Gus on the block, if you're so ornery that people go the other way when you come in the room, if all you do is find fault in everybody around you, if there's so much bitterness in your heart towards anybody, if there's bitterness in your heart towards anybody, I need you to just be really real, because for the sake and the love of your soul, you need to just repent of all that. If you can't, I can't remember. Either it's James, Peter, or Paul. The way that one of them said this might have been John. He wrote some letters too. I'll say the verse and one of you will remember it. If you can't love people who you see, how can you say you love God who you can't see? That's a... Who was it? Who was it, Hunter? Hunter says John, right? Right, Blake? I know. I was trying to give Hunter the credit. Anyway. Good job. And you know what? He always lets me know if I do a good job or not preaching because he's listening. You know, if he's listening, then I must have been doing a good job instead of him falling asleep. So, now, I need to say that in a way that, you know, what I'm talking about, if you're just a hater, for the sake and the love of your soul, repent and give your life to Jesus. Because I don't think that we could hate people and love God. I just don't think it doesn't mesh, it doesn't jive, it's just not there. Now, one of the evidences of you knowing Jesus is this one thing also, is that there's constant transformation. Hello? In other words, when I accepted Jesus into my life when I was a teenager, my life changed. There was a change. There was a transformation. But guess what also happened and is happening? It didn't get transformed into what I am now. There's been constant transformation. And now guess what? I am not even close to where I know God wants to bring me through this life while I'm here on this earth. In other words, there's a lot more work to do inside of me. Hello? When I know Jesus, I know that He's working on me. And He's working on you. And yeah, if I'm struggling with somebody in my life that I just need to forgive, that doesn't mean I'm not saved. It's just like, but God won't let you leave it alone. But if you want to settle for hating people, let me tell you something. You might not know Jesus. You just might not know Him. If you're a hater, then just repent and get to know Jesus, because that's all that matters. And by the way, has hating people done any good? Again, the haters in this world are miserable. I don't want to be like one of them. Hello, do you? Good, nobody raised their hand. Amen. Let me do this. Let's go over the passage of Scripture. Okay. You guys with me? It's in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Starting in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him. I don't know, when I'm reading this, this is Jesus. Jesus just tells two parables about the end times, the 10 virgins and the talents and stuff. And then He tells this one, which isn't a parable. It is an actual event that He is alluding to that is actually going to happen. Hey, get back here. I need you. That's going to happen. So this isn't something that He's like making up as like, He say, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, oh, then He will sit on His glorious throne. I'm loving that word. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. I want to break this down real quick, because this is something I want to talk about for a second. We get this illustration that Jesus is talking about, the separation of sheep and goats, but why does a shepherd separate sheep from goats? I never asked that question of myself until this morning. Why does He separate sheep from goats? Anybody have any idea or clue? Okay, for breeding purposes, that would be one. Yeah. They just don't get along with each other. But here's something I need to, you know, I don't know if we realize this now, but through the time of breeding, because that separation has happened so frequently, how many of you've seen the goats eating, you know, the brush and stuff? And You can identify, is it easy for you as a layperson, as far as like you're not an expert in shepherding, to distinguish between sheep and goats? Right? You guys can tell a difference? I can tell a difference between a sheep and a goat right now. I can. But here's what Jesus is telling this. There wasn't this distinction. In fact, sheep and goats were so similar that only the shepherd could distinguish between a sheep and a goat. They were so similar at this time that they actually would blend in with each other, and a lay person, somebody that didn't understand and wasn't with them constantly, they could not tell the difference between the sheep and the goat. And it was the shepherd and the shepherd only that could distinguish between the two. Do you guys hear that? So when Jesus tells this, he's saying it very distinctly that I and only I can tell the difference. I and only I know who is who. I and only I can separate. That's not your job. That's not our job. That's not the other sheep's job. That's not the goat's job. That's not anybody's job but mine. Because I know the difference. I know who's who. So here's there's some good reasons why the shepherd separates. You know, sheep, they follow the voice of their shepherd and trust him to lead them to food, correct? Lead them to water, lead them to safety, put a protection around them. If they wander, which some do, the shepherd will go out, rescue them, and bring them back to the safety of the flock. That's what a shepherd does. Sheep separated from their shepherd and their flock are nervous, they're vulnerable, because they have no defensive or offensive survival abilities. So basically, a sheep needs a shepherd. That's what God refers to us as. You realize that? Well, goats, however, they don't follow anyone. A herd of goats goes where it wants to go, goes where it sees fit to be led, goes where it feels most comfortable. Goats go wherever they want. And yes, they become like parasites. They kind of work their way into the fold. Not for their only purpose to do it is selfish. A goat is self-centered completely, 100%. They come into the fold looking what I can get out of these people. What I can get out of this. What's in it for me? Oh man, that ought to wake us up, huh? Do I go to church so I could get something for me? What's in it for me? Oh man, I didn't like how he was speaking. I didn't like what they do with the kids' church. I don't like this uncomfortable air that they give. There's nothing really in it for me. I'm going to church where it'll bless me and be something there for me. Wow. A weeding out, yes, 100%. And Jesus tells other parables about that. But listen, let's take it a little farther. See, sheep, a herd of goats goes wherever it wants. And remember, the shepherd leads them to still waters. The shepherd leads them to pastures. A goat herder, you know what a goat herder does? Follows behind to keep the goats from destroying other people's property. That's all a goat herder does. Are you kidding me? This is crazy. Instead of grazing, goats, they browse. They take a look and say, what can I get from here, from there? What can I do out of this? What can I get out of that? They don't just put their head down and graze on the beautiful green grass that God has provided. Instead, they're always discontent. How come I can't get that? How come I can't have this? How come I can't be what he has? How come I'm not doing what I... How come I just blah, 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 blah? Oh, it's ugly. You guys know what I'm talking about. Listen, I simply Googled it, okay? I Googled this. Google, thank you. They forage for whatever strikes their fancy. Listen to this. So it tells us that if we are allowing ourselves to be led, being sensitive to the pull of God's Spirit and following the path of our shepherd, we are like sheep. If we're headstrong, going our own way, pulling back against God's Spirit, rejecting God's word, we are like goats. Shepherds protect sheep from their environment, whereas goat herders protect the environment from their goats. What a difference, huh? A sheep is led by a shepherd. A goat herder is led by his goat. Interesting, huh? Why does Jesus then need to separate? You see it, don't we? We see it a little more clear, huh? I'm sorry, Margarita, were you going to say something? Or are you... No. Don't go there. That's not it at all. No, in fact, it's 100%. It's 100%. Those that know Jesus, those that do the will of the Father, because when we look at all of Scripture, we look that Gentiles were just as obedient. Remember, Jesus said something for some reason, all the words that Jesus said are ring really loud and true in my ear. He said something to the centurion man, and he said there, when that centurion man had a sick servant, and he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you just heal my friend, my servant? And Jesus said, oh yeah, sure, just, where's he at? Let's go. And the centurion said, a centurion was a dog, a Gentile man that he was, these people were hated by the Jews. They were there guarding over, watching over them. And then the centurion told Jesus, no, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus says something so awesome. Did we hear this? He said, wow, I have never seen such great faith, even in all of Israel. I think he intentionally said that to offend all of the Jews right there in that very moment. Because it's not about your lineage. It wasn't about being born a Jew. That's what he was constantly battling up against. Jesus was born a Jew. He wasn't disregarding being born a Jew. He was disregarding that's what they put all of their eggs in that basket. And God's saying, you put your eggs in that basket, I never knew you. And that's true for us. Whether we need to be, that same truth is true. You can say, well, I do this, I do that, I go to church, I said a prayer one time, and but I hate that person, I hate that person, I hate that person, I don't like it when they, I'm not going to church if they're going to be there. Really? Are you really saved if that's coming out of your mouth? That's the stuff that Jesus is calling us on. Calling us, like, what's in your heart? Check what comes out of your mouth, and you might find what's in your heart. Oh, did I just get a little gritty? I'm sorry. I usually like to warn you if I get gritty. Let's move on. Where am I at? Oh, am I on the sheep and the goats? I didn't get much far, did I? Okay. Any other comments? I know that some of you know a little bit more about sheep than I do. Firsthand, that is. Oh, yeah, okay, what's... Amen. And I'll take 2 minutes to try to digress on. Yeah. The unjust, yes, and that, you know, so that's a good, and it's a good thought, Marguerite. Don't leave. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to try to explain it, but maybe you could explain it. Okay. I'll explain it anyway. Does anybody in the room, and maybe this is a loaded question, go clean yourself up before you get in the shower? Does anybody go take a bath before they get in the shower? No, because what you're doing, what you get into the shower for is to get clean. So when you come into the salt mine, when you come into God's presence, when you come into the kingdom, when you submit, you claim yourself to be, as a sinner. And guess what? God died for sinners. Did you realize that? He died for my sins. Can I say this again? Jesus died for my sins. So what I need to do, and what all of us need to do to first come to that salvation, to come to salvation in Christ, is to acknowledge, admit, and confess my sins. Jesus didn't die for mistakers. Did you hear that? We got to stop calling our sins mistakes. They're sins. And you know what? When I sinned, and I sinned, it's willful. When we admit and we come clean and we just confess our sins, that's when we're forgiven and cleansed from our sins. And that's where the transformation takes place. That's where the cleansing takes place. That's where, if you come in as a goat, the only way that you can be transformed into a sheep is to confess yourself as being a goat. Yeah, I came in here selfish. I came in here, and sometimes I come in here, and all I want is for you to just make me feel good. And that's why I think sometimes it happens here at the salt mine, because I miss that place of saying, wow, so good to see you today. I'm so glad you're here. Hi, and what a blessing that you're here. And I miss that opportunity to make you feel good, so you walk out of here offended because you came in here looking to just for somebody to make you feel good. Never happened to you? No? Never happened to anybody? No. Guess I missed that one. Oh, that's right. Those people are gone. They left because they didn't. I'm sorry. What was I thinking? Let's get down to what Jesus said. Let's get back to it. Man, I thought I'd get you through it quick. I'm right there because I'm starting to heat up. I'm going to keep going. Place the sheep on his right, the goats on his left, and the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I love that. Just let that word sink in. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer to him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger, and welcome you in, or naked, and clothe you? And when did you see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You hear what he's saying there? And he's saying it very clearly and very straight to the point. You loving people is evidence that you love God. You loving others is the primary evidence. It's the number one indicator that you love God. So much so that he goes on and says, now here's to you the goats. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Even that is a message to be spoken on, because God did not originally prepare hell for us. It was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. So if someone ever asks you the question or makes the statement, well, if God really is loving, he wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, God isn't sending anyone to hell. It's we make that choice. And so much so that God didn't make hell to send people into it. He made it, and he's making it for the devil and his angels. And if you so choose to want to join them, that's your choice. But God has graciously, kindly, and mercifully provided a way for us to spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen? So that argument doesn't hold any water, because it just doesn't. For I was hungry, so this is the reason that this is happening. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I'm going to finish here because when I read those words, that last phrase, when I read those words, and I've read them a lot, but when I read them last night again as I was really falling asleep, kind of going over some of the scriptures that I wanted to share this morning, the Holy Spirit came over me in such a heaviness that I fell asleep weeping. I fell asleep crying because of that. Eternal punishment is not meant for anybody. So I just stand here, and I hope you guys stand here with me, or sit there with me, that those three questions matter. Do I know Jesus? Do I serve the Lord? And do I love others? But they matter enough for me to ask them of my friends, my family, my neighbors, my peers, strangers that God may direct me to. Be in tune to the Holy Spirit leading you to direct you to ask those questions, because it's what really matters, and it's all that really matters. Eternity is nearly upon us. Eternity is nearly upon us. I know it and I believe it that we're ready. And it's not that we're ready because we just want to get rid of it and we get out of this hellhole. That's not why. It's because we want to be with Jesus. That's what makes us ready. Because I really want to be with Jesus. But more than that, and I say it as Paul said it, I want everyone I know to be with Jesus too. I don't want anyone to go to eternal punishment. And I believe that's the heart of God that beats inside of us. When that beats inside of you, then that's God's heartbeat beating loud. Give it the voice. Give God's heartbeat the voice through your lips, through your life, through your actions. And share the love of Jesus with everyone you know. Don't miss the opportunities that are right in front of us. My friends, let's not miss it. Weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity is not something that I want to see and know that anybody that I know and love is going to have to experience. I know that's the same heartbeat that's in all of us. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have called us. We thank you for your grace. That your grace that we can walk into this room and be just so messed up, and your grace can come in and transform us and change us into your image. To be loving, to be caring, to be kind, to be generous, to be patient, to be merciful, to be good as you are good. Oh, and Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak so loud in our hearts and in our minds. We give you the permission for your heart to beat inside of our hearts, to where we have the same passion and desire that you have for the lost, for the dying, for the decaying, for the hurting. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Fill us with your Spirit. Not so that we can look good, but we want to make you look good. We want to make you so attractive that people are clawing to want to know this Jesus that we claim to represent. That's our desire right now, right here today. Especially as we gather our hearts, we render our hearts to pray for revival, to pray for those in our world, in our community, in our villages, in our neighborhoods. We pray that they would come to know you, Jesus. We pray for your Spirit to move in our midst as we humble ourselves and repent of our sins. Seek your face. Oh, forgive us and heal us. In Jesus' name, pour out your Spirit. Hallelujah and amen. Amen. Amen.